In the name of Jesus, the Messiah, amen. I want to encourage you to pull out those Bibles that are there in the pews and turn to Isaiah chapter 35. And yes, it is okay to ask people to look in their Bibles while you preach. That is a good thing to do. If you have it on your phones, this is actually the one time you will have permission to look at your phones if you're looking at your Bible app. Looking over Isaiah 35, there is something very interesting that happens throughout this Bible reading. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first start looking at a Bible reading, one of the first things my mind starts to do is to find out, where does this hit me? Where does this impact me? And so it's natural to kind of skip over the beginning parts of it, and we start to get to the different parts that speak to who we are as human beings. That's natural. We recognize our need for redemption, and therefore we're drawn to those places that speak of the redemption of mankind. And yes, Isaiah speaks very powerfully to that here in this Bible reading. He talks about what's going to happen when the touch of the Messiah brings renewal. The blind will see. The lame will leap like the deer. The deaf will hear. The mute will speak. And yet, when we read places like Isaiah 35, and as we have heard in several of our other readings from Isaiah throughout this season of Advent, that is not the only renewal that gets spoken of. Don't very quickly pass over verses 1 and 2 in there. The dry ground is crying out and being glad. The desert is not only rejoicing, it's doing a new thing. It is sprouting out and blossoming. So yes, we see and hear the Messiah's touch bringing redemption and renewal to humankind. That's something that we heard in our gospel reading from Matthew 11. When John the Baptizer had heard about the things that Jesus was doing, he sent his disciples to say to Jesus, "What's happening here? We see that you're doing some of the things that have been spoken of by the Messiah, but not all of them. Not all of them." And Jesus sends him back, reminding him that, yes, the touch of the Messiah brings renewal to humankind. But as we see interwoven through this chapter of Isaiah, it is not only humankind that meets renewal at the touch of the Messiah. Waters break forth in the desert. As someone who grew up on the plains of West Texas, I can tell you that would be an unusual thing to see. As someone who lived for 11 and a half years in northern Utah in the high desert, they do not naturally do that. And yet, the picture of the touch of the Messiah, that which was created to bring forth life, will do so once again when it is renewed. And so it's understandable that when John is looking and hearing of the deeds of Jesus, he's wondering, yes, we see some of these things, but we don't see all of them. We see renewal by the Messiah's touch of humankind, but perhaps not everything. This is where I'd encourage you, actually look through Isaiah 35 here for a moment. Scan through it. Because as you read through this, there is no specific time frame that seems to be given. Is this going to be accomplished in stages? Is this all going to take place at once? Simply by reading through Isaiah 35, you don't get a sense of that. If anything, it seems like, yes, this will all happen at one time. The desert is going to be rejoicing. There are going to be weak hands that are strengthened, feeble knees that are made strong. We're going to see the eyes of the blind opened. We're going to see pools of water springing up in the desert. You simply cannot tell the timing of these different events. And that points to something that I think is important for us to think about, especially as we go through this season of Advent, looking at the promises leading up to the Messiah. Because we quite clearly see that there are the two different comings of the Messiah that take place. John clearly sees some of the ways in which the Messiah's renewal and touch takes place. And yet, even with what he sees, even with what we hear in the Gospels when we encounter them and read them, it still leaves us longing. Not all the blind receive sight. Not all the deaf hear. Not all the lame are given back their legs, and so forth. And so we find ourselves waiting and longing for that renewing touch of the Messiah. And that's where we also get pointed ahead. Pointed ahead to that day when creation will reach all of its fulfillment, when all will come to completion, when that day where creation is redeemed and renewed, humanity and creation together. And when we think of it, yes, we as humans long for that day and hope for that day and wait in anticipation for that day. But we're not the only ones waiting. Creation itself has been groaning and longing for that day ever since that fateful day back in the Garden of Eden, when God would come and encounter his people who had fallen into sin. And in speaking to them, we see the reason why creation itself waits for that day. Speaking to the man, "What have you done?" And then in reply, when God would say, "Cursed is the ground because of you. And now it will be work. It will bear forth thistles for you." A creation that falls under the curse, that groans and longs for renewal and redemption. It is awaiting that day just as much as you and I are. It groans for the Messiah's touch to bring renewal. And the hope that we see here from Isaiah is that the Messiah's touch does indeed bring renewal. It doesn't matter if it was something that was renewed at Jesus' first appearing or if it is something that's going to take place when he comes back and renews all things. Renewal happens when the Messiah touches. What the Messiah touches will have renewal. It was true for the disciples of John with what they saw that day as Jesus told them to report that back to John. What the Messiah touched was given renewal. And where the Messiah's touch continues to reach, there is still renewal. Today, you and I will receive a small touch from the Messiah that brings renewal. When we kneel down to receive that where the Messiah himself says, "I am present here, take my body, receive my blood." Touch of renewal that touches us and lasts for a lifetime. When word and water join together and the Messiah connects us to himself, to his life, his death, and his resurrection for us, and says, "Now you have a touch of the Messiah that will never go away." One that struck me very powerfully this past Saturday. For those of you who may recall, one of our dear brothers, Hussein, was laid to rest. During the procession, there was a casket that sat right here. A lifeless body to all intents and purposes. And yet one that will know the renewal of the Messiah's touch, because the water and the word had been spoken upon that one. And that gave our dear brother a renewal that, yes, we wait for and we long for and that we hope for and that each of us will also face. A renewal that comes because where the Messiah's touch reaches, there is indeed renewal. Now, it also struck me as I pondered that day, when death touches, what do we do with death? We put it back into the creation. A creation that when God created it said, bring forth life, be fruitful and multiply. And since that day of the fall, what have we put back into the creation? Death. How the creation, as we see here in Isaiah, must long for that day when it can put forth that which is dead within it and give way to that which it was created to do, to bring life. All because of the Messiah's touch, which brings renewal. Yes, we long for that day. We give thanks and rejoice that we have received the Messiah's touch that brings renewal in our life. And that is the hope that we long for as well as creation. We have that hope because the Messiah's touch continues for us. The waters of our baptism, the meal that we receive from the hand of the Messiah, the word which brings the Messiah himself to it. And because of that, as we hear at the end of this reading from Isaiah, we will then be those who return to our God with singing and with everlasting joy. Sorrow and sighing shall indeed flee away because renewal comes at the Messiah's touch. And that's why our fervent cry is, as we started our time of worship this day, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Amen. May the peace of God guard your hearts and souls and keep you in true faith to life everlasting.